At the beginning of Advent, people often make a comparison between Advent and Lent. I do this myself. And it's valid, because both seasons are seasons of preparation, seasons of penance, seasons to get sin out of the way so that the Lord can reign. They're both violet color, in the liturgical color. But as we get to the end of Advent, today is the last day, today this is the last Mass of Advent, we realize that Advent and Lent, even though they have similarities, they also have big differences. At the end of Lent, we are in the solemnity of Holy Week, we are mourning the death of the Savior, and we're left at the tomb, almost wondering what can happen next. And then we're taken by surprise that God is more powerful even than death. So that's a completely different experience. There's a kind of a wonder, like a surprise. God reigns over death. At the end of Advent, it's not like that. Because, well, first of all, everyone knows that at the end of pregnancy comes birth. There's no surprise there. In fact, when a woman is in her last month or so, everybody every day says, oh, when are you going to give birth? When's your due date? When is the child coming? So everyone's expecting it, and there's already a joy of anticipation growing. So as we get near the end of Advent, or here to the last day of Advent, it's already celebration. It's already filled with joy. I thought the comment at the beginning of the meditation in today's Anuan Way puts it pretty well. The season concludes tonight when we will shift from the joy of anticipation, he is coming, to the joy of presence, he is here. What happens is the joy of presence, the joy of his birth, is already overflowing into this day. So here it is. Still Advent, but we're already celebrating Christmas. That comes naturally to us. On this last day of Advent, we read the last verses of Luke's Gospel before the account of Jesus' birth. And these last words are the words of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, his famous canticle. This is a beautiful song of praise. It's a wonderful prophecy. It's maybe not as popular or as great as the Magnificat, but it's like that. And as you know, the church holds this canticle in great esteem and prays it every single day in the morning prayer of the Liturgy of the Hours. So many of you pray the morning prayer, and you know this canticle by heart, the canticle of Zechariah, the Benedictus, it's called in Latin. So let's take a moment to reflect on Zechariah and his canticle. It's the final Advent message for us. And the canticle is a revelation of the one to be born and the one who is already born, meaning the one to be born, Jesus, and the one already born is John. But once again, we see the John and Jesus put side by side, and the greatness of Jesus and the preparation work of John. Now remember, Zechariah has been silent for 9 months. That's a long time. He has been listening to his wife Elizabeth and her relative Mary for the past 3 months, singing the praises of the Lord. We spoke a lot on the last couple of days about singing and the new song. Well, Elizabeth and Mary were certainly doing a lot of singing and rejoicing. And Zechariah is listening to all this, but he can't say anything. And he's watching the plan of God unfold before his very eyes, meaning he can watch his wife get bigger and bigger. And now she's given birth. I don't know if he can see yet that Mary's pregnant because she's only 3 months along, but Zechariah is listening and watching. He's without a voice, But when the child who is called the voice, voice crying out in the wilderness, when that child is born and when he receives his proper name, which is not Zechariah, that's when Zechariah gets his voice back. This child is the son of Zechariah, yes, but he's not a priest, or his mission is not the same as Zechariah, and he doesn't have the same name as Zechariah. He has a different name, John. We reflected on that yesterday. Because it's important that Zechariah affirms that his son has a mission that comes from God, not from him. Something he didn't inherit. John didn't inherit it. He got it as a call, vocation from God. So Zechariah, he gets his voice back. What does he say? He doesn't say, "Thank you, Lord, that I have my voice back." He doesn't say, "I'm so happy that my wife has given birth to a son." Maybe other people are saying, "Oh, isn't it wonderful that Elizabeth has a son?" But Zechariah's first words are, "Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel." Words of praise of God. This is an Advent message for us. There's lots of reasons to praise the Lord. There's lots of reasons to be rejoicing at this time, right before Christmas. But the greatest praise is of God, and the greatest reason for rejoicing is God, God with us. So he sings out, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. For he has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David." This is not about John. And it's not about Zechariah. This is a prophecy of Jesus. It's very striking that the very first words he says are really praise of God and a prophecy about Jesus. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior. That's Jesus Christ, not John. Born of the house of his servant David. John is not born of the house of David. He's born of the house of, well, Zechariah, Azariah, from the tribe of Levi, not the tribe of Judah. So he's clearly not talking about his own son. He's prophesying, and he says he's born of the house of David. He's not born yet, still in the womb. So he's looking ahead. And he speaks about the fulfillment of God's promise. And then after, well, maybe more than halfway through the canticle, finally he turns to his own son, 8 days old, and he says, "You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way." He's announcing, he's prophesying the mission of this newborn child. Zechariah knows it because the angel told him this before the child was even conceived. He knows that this child is sent by God with a mission from God to prepare the way for God, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Great news, to prepare the way, to proclaim salvation, to proclaim forgiveness of sin. Now you might wonder, why would Zechariah have to say this to an 8-day-old child? Obviously, John can't understand what he's saying. He doesn't know that his father is telling him that he should go before the Lord to prepare the way. Well, we talk to babies all the time. This is how that's how babies learn how to talk. They hear us talking. And we talk to them. But remember, Zechariah here is prophesying. So his word, even though it says, "You, my child," is not only addressed to John. It's the word of God also addressed to us. You, meaning you. You, you, you are called the prophet of the Most High. How can you be called a prophet? Because you are already a prophet by baptism. Baptism gives us a mission to be spokespeople for the Lord, to proclaim the word of the Lord. Starts with baptism. It's no accident that John, part of his mission was baptism, a baptism of preparation, of repentance. So here's the message of Zechariah applied to us. You, what's your mission? Well, you're supposed to go before the Lord. You're supposed to prepare the way. Well, we've been preparing the way all Advent. You see, we are not the saviors. We're not saving the world. We're preparing the way for the Lord. We're welcoming the Lord. We're doing our part so that God can more freely and completely do his part. Prepare the way. You, prophets, have a great message. Give people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. This is a message of light in the darkness. This is for people who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, people who are afflicted with sin, caught in sin, enslaved by sin, burdened by sin. Many people with this, in this condition, do not know the way out. They don't have knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. How are they going to find out about it? They have to hear someone or have to witness someone whose life makes visible that there's victory over sin available to us. How do we have freedom from sin? Baptism, repentance, faith in Jesus Christ. We're already baptized, but when we sin, we repent with confidence in God's mercy. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. That's our mission. And that's the great news that we have available for everybody. It's light shining in the darkness. It guides our feet into the way of peace. So here it is, the Canticle of Zechariah, the last message of Advent, the last words of the Gospel before the account of Jesus' birth. It's a reminder to us that we who are welcoming the coming of the Lord, we who are rejoicing at the coming of the Lord, are also responsible to make known the real reason for joy. The real reason for celebration of Christmas is knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of our sins. That's the gift that Jesus will come to give us.